I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, all you mother...
Politics, politics, humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Art Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hello, hello, welcome to Art Cop Radio, show number 129. Glad you could make it. Art Cop Radio seen on theartcop.com. Art Cop Radio heard on the greater Art Cop Radio networks. Well, we got one of them wham bang shows for you today. Matter of fact, you might even call it like one of the old timey shows. You know, I got a couple of pre-things to tell you about. Let me tell you about this. I may have figured something out. I think I got into a little trap there about using the sound clips because the sound clips just double or triple the time. Today is Thursday. I took off Wednesday to do the radio show. I worked all day on it. At the end of the day, I didn't like it. I didn't like any of it. So I mucked it. I threw it away. I just folded it. I just got rid of it. I shot it in the head, buried it outside of town. Just didn't like it, so I had to start all over today. And I was crestfallen. I told you wouldn't hear from me again until I had a radio show. And here, the day had gone by, I got in a radio show. Didn't even have the beginnings. I mean, there's a couple of clips in here. But, you know, no foundation, no big meaty parts. I thought, oh, jeepers, what are we going to do now? So I did what I used to do. Poured me a hot bath, grabbed every newspaper I could find, sat there and went through the newspapers while the water was churning. Somehow it makes me think better. You'd think my brains are in my legs or something, but... Anyway, so I kept finding these outrageous things. The paper started circling them, writing little notes on the side. Thursday morning came around, started talking, couldn't hardly shut me up. As always, now we got too much to go in. There's more. The CD holds something, 77 minutes, something like that. We got more than that, so I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to have to lop off the good parts. I don't know what we're going to do. So that hopefully will increase the tempo and the rapidity of the new shows. What else going on? Oh, just got back from the dentist. Had a good time there. No cavities. I think the alcohol helps to kill the bad acid in your mouth. You know how that works. So if you want better teeth, drink more straight liquor. And another good thing, I heard there's a new Led Zeppelin channel on XM Radio, which is way cool. So I turned it on, and it was nothing but live Led Zeppelin. I don't know how long they can do this, but all my driving around today, nothing but live Led Zeppelin. I thought, hey, that's way cool. They've got stuff from the new album that's not out yet, and I don't know. They're supposed to go like till May 08, nothing but Zeppelin. Maybe it's a tryout, or maybe Zeppelin made the XM people some kind of deal. I'm not sure what's going on. Somehow they got a hold of the copy before it was released, so Zeppelin must be in on the deal. But hey, I like me some Zeppelin. Not too excited about this Led Zeppelin reunion because Plant is acting. You know, Robert Plant is like the oldest man on the planet now. However old your grandfather is, mentally, Robert Plant is a whole lot older than that. All he wants to do now is sit there and sing Going to California. So I don't know what's going to happen with this reunion show coming up. Might be the greatest show ever, might not be. But I'm not going to take every last penny I got and try to get to London. Probably get on tickets on the very last row, and the band will suck, and the sound will be bad, and it'll be lightning, and it'll be just shit everywhere. So I don't want to spend every penny I have to get to a maybe. But maybe if I jinx it like that, maybe they'll come back and show me, do a great show. The other thing, I've run out of Chinaco Añejo. Oh, no. The times in the past when we didn't open the show with a Chinaco didn't turn out to be that good a show. So we're hoping we can break that curse. So what I have in its place, God don't strike me dead, I got some Cabo Wabo Añejo. Sammy Hagar's tequila. Now, Sammy Hagar's regular tequila doesn't do much for me. Well, you know, no tequila does, but his Añejo is not bad. At least that's how I remember it. And if you might have heard this story before, but there must be some newbies. The reason I got into drinking the fine tequila, years ago, I used to drink alcohol strictly for the side effects. And one day I'm at the liquor store, and I see this guy buy an expensive bottle of tequila, and I thought, WTF, Cuervo's the good tequila, and it's like $14 a bottle. Who would spend whatever $40 on a bottle of Sammy Hagar's tequila? And at the time, I was making massive money. And so I thought, well, hell, I'll buy me a bottle of that, see what it's like. So I bought a bottle of it, turned it upside down, drank it, and thought, well, I don't know, tastes like tequila. but I don't see why somebody would pay $40, $50 for it. Then as time went by, I lost my lucrative job. Actually, it was a life of crime. I'll put that in the book. When I left my life of crime and went straight, started making a whole lot less money. Money was just staying away in droves. You know, it was just terrible. So now that I wasn't making any money, I thought, well, damn, I hate to give up that good tequila, and I can't. So then I thought, well, if I can't give it up, I'll have to just ration it. And that's when I started sipping it. And that's when I found out how good the damn tequila was, because I had to make a bottle last a month instead of an evening. So when I started sippy-sippy, little teeny-tiny sips, I thought, damn, that's good. This is why it's good. When you turn a bottle of expensive tequila upside down and drain it, all you get is a buzz out of it. You don't get the flavor. But if you take the little, bitty, tiny, teeny sips, that's when you get all the flavor. The flavor just explodes in your mouth. It pops. It crackles. It just boom. It just hello flavor. So, I better hurry up. This is going to be a 40-minute opening. Okay, so we're going to open the show today with a bottle of Chinook. No, a bottle of Cabo Wabo. Oh, and in sidebar now, any of you out there can buy Chinooko Añejo. It's got to be the Añejo. If you send me the Reposado or the silver, all we can do is sterilize instruments with it. We have to have the Añejo. So if you see a bottle of Chinooko Añejo somewhere, you can trade it for a year of Bar Cap Radio, a potentially $120 value. Mm, boy, what a bargain for you. Okay, so here we go. Shot of Sammy's Cabo Wabo. Oh, double sidebar. Last summer we were in San Francisco, Tommy's Tequila Bar. I think it's Tommy's Mexican restaurant, whatever, but oh, it's the finest place. You know when Chinooko, when they came out with their 30th anniversary Emperador, I can't even say it. That's how much I hadn't drank it. Emperador or something like that. The finest tequila I've ever had. They premiered it at Tommy's Mexican restaurant there. That's just, God damn, that'd be nice to own a restaurant. And they say, Bart, we got the best tequila ever made, and we want to premiere it at your place. It's like, yes, thank you. So when I was out there, was able to buy a half a shot of Sammy's Ultra Uber Premier Cabo Uno. It was very, very nice. It'd be nice to have some more of that to try it, because like I say, you try some tequila and think, damn, that's good. You need to try some a month later to reinforce how good it tasted. So here we go. Sammy's Tequila. Oh, there's no pop either. That works terrible on radio. I got to say, that's very fine tequila. Sammy Hagar, go figure. Any kind of Añejo is good Añejo. Sammy's Cabo Wabo, no exception. Okay, now that we got the tequila out the way, start the big, big show!
This is www.bartcop.com.
I'll tell you one thing. There's a chance now that the Writers Guild of America East and Writers Guild of America West will go on strike. We don't know right now if that's going to happen, but it looks like they may go on strike. And it could mean that all of your favorite television shows will go away. And they may not come back. And so what I'm trying to say is this could be your last look at me and Paul. We don't know yet. We just don't know what's going to happen. And on the one hand, you have the welfare and the future of the Writers Guild of America members. I've been a member of that guild for all my life. And on the other hand, you have the welfare of the staff and the crew who work here at The Late Show. So it's a tough decision. And yours truly, once again, caught right in the middle. Right in the middle, ladies and gentlemen.
Good.
Well, here's what we're talking about. Because of the impending strike and the possibility of the strike, and by the way, this could cripple television. It could bring television to its knees.
I know.
There would be no more television. And the guy that you bought your TV from, Circuit City or wherever you got it, they'll be by the house to pick up your set. They'll come and get it. They'll come and take it away from you because there's nothing to watch, and there are people around the world who still have television, and that's where your TV will go. To people who need sets to watch actual television, since in this country there will be no television. The TV producers who are cowards, cutthroats, and weasels.
I don't know too much about this strike. I don't guess you do either, unless you're in the business. But sure, it seems like the writers are getting screwed. The super rich, they want it all, and they don't want to give up a penny of it. You know, the last strike, they said, was in 88. And in 1988, they didn't have DVDs, they didn't have the internet, they didn't have all this stuff where they're making a lot of money. And now what they're doing, you know, say a guy writes for a TV show, and it makes X amount of money, and that's how it's been for a while. But then they release the DVD, and it goes platinum, and the studio or the producers, whatever, they make an extra, I don't know, $200 million, let's say, off an average TV show, and the writers don't get a piece of that, and that's wrong. I mean, Christ, it's just like the oil companies, you know. They're just drowning in so much money, and on top of that, they're extra super greedy. It just doesn't make any sense. If I had $100 million, and I had a chance to make another $100 million, I split that with you, the listener. See, now I've just given you $50 million. Because it's just fair, because once you got your $100 million in the bank, you don't need another $100 million in the bank. But the greedy sons of bitches, they would rather imperil everything they have. You know, they're talking about TV maybe going away, you know, till what, January, something like that. A lot of the shows are written up until January. You know, say like a show like Heroes. They've got maybe 10 or 12, well, what's today? It's middle of November. So they've got 6 episodes maybe in the can. So knowing these idiot weasels, they're probably going to wait until it really starts hurting before. But why not settle now? It's a little like different hopping of subjects, but it's like the Republicans in the war. We know they're going to change their minds. They can't win anything at next year's election if they're pro-war, but they're waiting to change their minds. What are they waiting for? Why not change your minds now? The men that are going to die between now and when they change their minds, that's just useless. You talk about, did they die in vain? Yes. Everybody's afraid to say it. Yes, they fucking did. They're all going to die for no reason. Now it looks trivial going back, but the writer's strike, they're going to have to give in sooner or later. You can't write movies and TV shows, et cetera, without writers. You're going to have the writers. And as bad as TV writers are, I can't believe some of these guys actually get paid. They said some of these upper-class writers make $200,000 a year. For the crap they put out, but that's a whole different subject. The thing is, they're going to have to settle sooner or later, so why not settle now? It makes no sense. If you're old enough to remember the last strike in 1988, the way I remember it, and I read a couple things about it this week, but it seems like people like Johnny Carson and David Letterman, they went a couple of weeks, maybe 4 or 5 weeks, with just reruns. They just didn't even show up. And I think it was Carson that said, screw it, I'm a half funny guy. Let's just have guests on. And I'll look at the newspaper, and I'll write a couple of jokes, and we'll go on and we'll do a show. And I think, well, hey, that's kind of like Bart Cop Radio without the guests. And you're probably wondering why I'm talking about this. Well, I don't fancy myself some comedian. You know, I like to have a good time, and I like to crack jokes, but I understand that I'm not in that upper tier. But wouldn't it be interesting to see what Jon Stewart's like without 22 writers? 22 writers. You know, if I had 22 writers, I'd be the funniest son of a bitch on the entire internet. 22 writers. All they got to come up with is, what, a half-decent joke per day? That's 11 dynamite jokes a day. Same for Saturday Night Live. They got all those writers, and they produce that crap that's, you know, Saturday Night Live, as we always talk about, they have 3-4 good laughs per show. But out of 90 minutes to have 3-4 good laughs, that's a horrible batting average. You couldn't play professional baseball betting, whatever, 4 out of 100. You can't be batting 40 and make it in professional baseball, but somehow writers are such shit that they can get $200,000 for making these same old Monica jokes and these 10-year-old jokes that are terrible. But anyway, getting up to the point. If the strike goes on, people like Leno and Letterman and Jimmy Kimmel and the whole gang, they may just decide, screw it, let's take a chance. Let's just turn on the cameras. And every day I'll go through the newspaper, I'll read the internet, I'll write a couple of my own jokes, and we'll just do a show and see what happens. Now, I'm interested in seeing that. I got nothing against someone like Jon Stewart, but how funny is Jon Stewart without 22 writers? How funny is Leno? Well, he's got his joke box. He's still doing Bob Hope's jokes from 1940, so Leno will be the same. Dave is a talented, funny man, but he's so lazy. He'll do a Monica joke if it prevents him from spending 30 seconds to write a real joke. All these guys, without their battery of writers behind them, it sure would be nice to see what they would do if they just had a newspaper and a microphone and a camera, and it's up to them to come up with some funny jokes. So that's kind of what this show turned into. We're going to go through the newspaper. We're going to try to make some funny jokes, maybe a couple observations. Hope this turned into an entertaining show, but let's all hope the strike gets over with, because I like my TV. I think I like my TV more than you, the listener, does. And again, a lot of it is such total crap. I'm not looking for those shows to come back, but they're just some shows like a good pair of slippers. They just feel good. Let's just put them on. So let's all hope the strike gets over with soon. After I recorded that, I saw something that really disappointed me. As you know, I like Bill Maher. I think he's good. I think he's got balls. He's not always right, but he's got balls. He's smart. He won't take shit off anybody. But then I read that he apparently was going to do the last show of his season. By the time you hear this, probably last Friday, but it might be this Friday. But he canceled it because of the writer's strike. Now, wait a minute. You've all seen Bill Maher's show. He comes out, he tells 2, 3, 4 jokes. Well, maybe 5 or 6, but it's not like he goes on. He comes out, he tells a few jokes. Then he interviews somebody. Then they sit down at the desk, and him and 3 people kick around the issues of the day. And then sometimes they have a little skit, which he could easily just blow off, just never mind. And then they talk some more, and then you might interview one more guy. And then they do the new rules at the end. So he cancels his show because he doesn't have any writers? Are you kidding me? Bill, you can't stumble through a show without writers. You can't say, hi, welcome to the show. Here's something I saw funny on the paper. Or here's what I heard on the news that I thought was kind of unusual. And then to close out, even if you just have 1 or 2 new rules, hey, people understand writers on strike. But to shut your show down because you don't have your 25 writers to help you? Oh, I'm so disappointed. Can't anybody in show business even think? Again, I don't mean to attack, but Jay Leno, Jimmy Kimmel, David Letterman, Bill Maher, Jon Stewart, Stephen Colbert, are they all brainless? Are they all absolutely empty buckets when it comes to comedy unless they have 25 writers standing there? I am disappointed. Why can't anybody do a show without 25 writers? How stupid are our comedy heroes?
Work it, make it, do it. Makes us harder, better, faster, stronger. That
don't kill me. Can only make us stronger. I need you to hurry up now. Cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now. Cause I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night now. That's how long I've been on ya. Let's get lost tonight. You could be my black Kate Moss tonight. Play secretary on the ball tonight. And you don't give a fuck what they all say, right? Awesome, the Christian and Christian Dior. Damn, they don't make them like this anymore. I ask, cause I'm not sure. Do anybody make real shit anymore? Bow in the presence of greatness. Cause right now that has forsakenness. You should be honored by my lateness.
Like any civilized country and organization, from time to time, we in America have to have a national conversation with ourselves. Ask tough questions about who we are, what we believe in. Is our children learning? Would we, in fact, like fries with that? Do we torture? Which, like any weighty question of ethics, is actually a question of semantics.
Word torture, what's your definition?
That's defined in U.S. law.
It is? Here we go. Torture, an act specifically intended to inflict severe physical or mental pain or suffering.
And we don't torture.
Suck on that, Belgium. We don't torture. I'm so glad we don't inflict severe physical or mental. What's this right here? Oh, hey, look at this. It's a Justice Department memo in my U.S. law. We are allowed to head slap, expose people to extreme temperatures, and simulate drowning, which is called waterboarding, which, by the way, sounds so much better than simulate drowning. You know, when you get waterboarded, it sounds like fun. I can't wait to hop in my Jeep Liberty, drink some Mountain Dew, and go waterboarding. But see, this is the trouble with not being barbaric. We always find ourselves in these gray areas. You'd be amazed how much uncertainty there is in the realm of drowning. Even when you're lashed to a board with water being poured on your face, still quite a bit of wiggle room.
It depends on how it's done. It depends on the circumstances. It depends on who does it. You know, like, let's say, I don't know, let's say the person doing it is, I don't know, the Harlem Globetrotters. Let's say it's them. So you think it's going to be water in the bucket, but at the last second, turns out the bucket is filled with confetti. Yeah. Very funny. Torture? I would say no.
I think the way it's been defined in the media, it shouldn't be done. The way in which they have described it, particularly in the liberal media.
Ah, interesting point. What is the liberal definition of... What is the liberal definition of... I have the liberal dictionary right here. Let's see what... Let's see how they describe, define waterboarding. Something done by the evil troops who we don't support to innocent terrorists violating their rights to bomb our cities and make us get gay married. I can see why you'd have a problem with that. What about the nominee for Attorney General, our nation's top law enforcement official? He can provide the concrete, legal, and ethical precision we need to figure out whether or not we should be drowning people.
I don't know what's involved in the technique. If waterboarding is torture, torture is not constitutional.
You don't know what's involved in water? How do you not know waterboarding is going to be on the test? Waterboarding inflicts mental pain and suffering. It's the definition of torture in U.S. law.
The Fifth and the 14th Amendments bar conduct that shocks the conscience.
Shock the conscience. So now conduct, it can't just be hurtful. It has to shock the conscience. But then the real question becomes, whose conscience are we working with here? Yours and mine, or maybe CIA Chief Michael Hayden's?
Talking about the shock the conscience standard, all right? That they took you and me, people of our age, and put us through what Marine Corps recruits go through at Paris Island and forced us to do that, that would probably shock the conscience.
Oh my God, the Army's unconstitutional.
This is the sound of radio, the world's most powerful medium.
Saw a headline, didn't he read the story? Headline is Political Storms, Katrina Helps Tilt the Mississippi Race. Voters in off-year elections today, so this will be Tuesday's paper, decide whether to keep Republican governors in Mississippi and Kentucky. Elect four big city mayors, yeah. In Mississippi, Governor Haley Barbour was benefiting from relative success in managing the post-Hurricane Katrina rebuilding of the Gulf Coast. He was considered a heavy favorite for election over Democrat John Eaves. Well, yeah. Haley Barbour is a Republican. He's a friend of George Bush's. Haley Barbour used to be the head of the RNC, the Republican National Committee. So, yeah, he's got pull. So when the shit hit the fan down there, Bush said, well, hey, screw Louisiana. They got a Democratic governor. They got a Democratic mayor. I just don't care. But Haley Barbour over here, he's a Republican. So let's go help him out. And if we need to buy some materials, we'll be sure and buy them from Republicans in Mississippi. And when it comes to rebuilding, I'm sure my oil buddies have got a whole lot of extra money. They're making, as we talked about, $75,000 or maybe now up to $100,000 per minute in profit. So yeah, they got some money they'd like to invest. How about a casino at cut rate prices? Sons of bitches. The crooked Republicans, they take such advantage of everything they see. You know, if they found a woman raped and bleeding on the side of the road, they'd find a way to make millions off that. They just do. They're just natural money makers that way. They can't make any money if they don't find a raped woman on the side of the road. So they write the rape laws to where you can get away with it, and then they go help the woman to make all the money. The sons of bitches, that's all they do. How do you make a profit off Katrina? Katrina wiped out a good part of Louisiana, drowned New Orleans, and Haley Barbour's over there sitting pretty because he knows the crooked president. He's one of the president's cronies. I don't know if he's officially in the BFEE, but trust me, if you're a former Republican National Committee chairman, yeah, you and the crooked president are real tight. But it just goes on and on and on. Apparently, this is Tuesday's paper. This is Thursday I'm recording this. I'm sure he won. The other funny race in here was the governor of Kentucky is a Republican. I don't know his story, but apparently he's so crooked. The big Democrat in that state is named, the Democrat in Kentucky is named Steve Beshear, and he didn't want to run for governor, but he couldn't find anybody to run against this crook who's named Ernie Fletcher. So he ran against him and beat him like a drum. He didn't even want the job. But apparently Kentucky was in a position to say anybody but Fletcher. So this Democrat Beshear got the job. Doesn't it make you sick to know that Haley Barbour made a you know, Haley Barbour and Katrina is like Rudy and 9/11. He's made that his big thing. I stand for you know, Haley Barbour saying, every day for me is Katrina. Well, yeah, he did great. All those hundreds of millions poured into Mississippi because he knows the crooked president. That's not how it's supposed to work. Disaster relief didn't get politicized until these sons of bitches got in office. Oh, a little sidebar here. I heard this on the radio the other day. Don't know anything about it. There's some lady who George Bush wanted to appoint to a position. But they have either a tradition or a law or something that you can't appoint your political buddies. So he has the lady go down and register, unregister as a Republican and re-register as independent. And then she comes back. Now she's officially independent. She's not a Republican because now he can appoint her to the job. So Bush has got his personal loyal cronies here that he's appointing all over the board, everywhere you look. And if there's a law that says you can't do that, well, they just change their affiliation. Crooked sons of bitches, stealing more money. And think how much money the evil Bush family, you know, they got their start in the Auschwitz and the death camps helping Hitler. And all through the years, you know, they make their money off arms sales and terrorism and hostage taking and more weapon sales. You know, when, every time you buy an M1 Abrams tank, that's the Carlyle Group. That's George Bush Sr. The sons of bitches. And I'm not against a man making some money, but when you make money off the misery of other people and you construct your policies to promote more misery, you know, every time a Republican gets in office, first thing to do is crash the economy. Now everybody's desperate for a job. Now all the businesses that used to cost $100 million, they're on sale for $30 million. You save $70 million. So yeah, if I'm super rich crook, I'm going to give Bush $1 million so he gets elected so I can buy a $100 million company for $30 million. Sons of bitches, they're all just crooks. Too bad we don't have a media or a Democratic Party that would say something about it.
Tonight. Time and time again, I gotta turn back round and tell these hoes that I am the H and I see bitch, that's just the way it goes. I be on that shit that I had you on that I don't want no more. At this time, I need all my freak hoes to get down on the floor. If you came to rep your set right now, nigga, let them know. If it's jail, I get for stomping and hitting the street, fuck it, I go. Freak, I be out in the week, straight geek swerving down your street in the stolen Bonneville.
Probably comes as no big shock to you that we have a bunch of crooks running our Congress. Well, at least members of Congress. I don't know that the top tier crooks. They probably are. But it's our headline in the paper, Farm Payments Benefited Lawmakers. Under Congress's ethics rules, recipients can vote on subsidies. Now, this should piss you off. It pisses me off. It should piss you off. When the bill that would extend farm subsidies for 5 years goes to the Senate floor this week, 8 senators will have a special reason to pay close attention. They or their relatives collected $3 million in federal payments in the last 10 years, according to Yeah, Yeah, Yeah. They joined 4 House members and a small group of lawmakers connected to farming operations that received a total of $6.2 million in subsidies over that period. Many say their experience with the program has given a valuable insight into the issue. Oh, blow me. Please, oh, my valuable insight, taking the money. Oh, cool. I'd like some insight, too. Maybe the government would send me a $1 million check. Without these programs, there are some years that we would have been in very, very dire straits, said Senator John Tester, a Montana Democrat elected last year who farms 1,800 acres. Along with his wife, Tester received about $250,000 from, well, in that 10-year period, according to the Department of Agriculture, Yeah, Yeah, Yeah. Congressional ethics rules allow members who get farm subsidies to vote on the bills that authorize them on the grounds that the bills affect a general class of people. Some see a problem with that. I do. Now, here's a list. It's a long thing. I'm not going to read it all, but Chuck Grassley, Republican Nazi from Iowa, got $878,000. You know, they talk about the sons of bitches. The Republicans always talk about, let the market be the master, let the market make the decisions and all that. Well, no, I'm not real sure about my farm policy here, but if you can't make it in the farm business, then get out. If I can't make it at barkup.com, I got to get out. I bought a restaurant, and it didn't work. I had to get out. I bought a nightclub. It didn't work. I had to get out. If it doesn't work, oh, shit. This Chuck Grassley got $878,000, and he says he can't make it unless the government gives him $1 million. Well, hey, screw that. If the government gives me $1 million, I'll be a nice guy for 10 years, too. That's just crap. But here we got Chuck Grassley, Republican, Iowa, $878,000. Blanche Lincoln, who I, as far as I'm concerned, throw her to the dog. She always votes with the Republicans. And you can tell she's a crook because she gets $700,000 in this 10-year period. And check this out. They mail it to her under her maiden name. Her maiden name is Blanche Lambert. And so she has the government make the check out to Blanche Lambert, but her name is Blanche Lincoln. But she takes the money in the other name, obviously, to fool people so someone doesn't look at that check and say, hey, is this that same Blanche Lincoln from Arkansas who voted for this bill? Crooked sons of bitches. Senator Brokeback from Kansas, $600,000. He was running for president until a couple of weeks ago. Mr. Super Christian, Mr. God is my co-pilot, stealing $643,000 from the government because his farm ain't doing so good. Well, hey, if your farm ain't doing so good, get the hell out of the business. Let someone else get in there who knows what they're doing. Maybe someone spent some time on the farm instead of time in Washington blowing guys. Yeah, we know about you Republicans. We know what you spend all your time doing. John Tester, Democrat, Montana, $230,000. The payments went to him and his wife. It says, well, Mr. Tester, if you can't make it, get out. Hell, look at all this bullshit. What's a senator make? $140,000, something like that? John Tester makes $230,000, and that's more than his salary at the damn Senate. And it keeps going on. Max Baucus, Democrat, Montana. Oh, okay, so all the senators from Montana are on the take. Montana must be a shit place to farm if nobody in Montana can make a nickel in the farming business. Richard Lugar, whore from Indiana, $126,000. Gordon Smith, isn't he the frozen food guy? Or am I thinking of Gorton? Anyway, Gordon Smith, Republican, Oregon, $45,000. The House members, Marion Barry, Democrat, Arkansas, $2 million. Wait, Marion Barry, isn't he the mayor? No. Anyway, Democrat of Arkansas, representative, $2,300,000. In farm subsidy. Hey, I know. Let's start Barkup Farms and you mail my ass a check for $2 million. This is crap. They're just up there stealing money. I'm surprised that the whore today, U.S. whore today, printed the story. But they're just up there stealing money. We need to vote for this farm bill because I really need it because these poor starving farmers. Oh, yeah. And make my check out, my $2,357,000 check. Make my check out to my wife because maybe somebody won't know that it's actually going to me. Crooked some bitches. Stephanie Sandlin, South Dakota, $700,000 because her farm can't make it. What the hell do you do on a farm to lose that kind of money? If you just sit there and look at the damn land, you're breaking even. How do you lose $700,000? Oh, I got to have $700,000 to break even because I own a farm. Well, how? If you just sit on your land, you sit on your front porch and you look at your land, how do you lose $700,000? You know, the point is they need $700,000 to break even. Well, no, that's bullshit. Give me $700,000. At least I'm working for the country. You sons of bitches are just stealing money. I'm trying to make things better. I'm fighting bastards like you. $800,000, $700,000, $600,000, $200,000 twice. $2 million for Marion Barry. Stephanie Sandlin, $700,000. John Salazar, Democrat, Colorado, $160,000. Denny Hastert, sweaty wrestler. Oh, sorry about that. I heard from some wrestling people. They said, give us a break. And, you know, sorry. You pick on a class of people. I don't mean everybody. It's like when I talk about the toothless fascists from Carolina. That's not all he is. That's just, like Oklahoma. If you say people from Oklahoma are fucking crazy, I'm going to say, of course they are. I'm not going to be insulted. A grand total of $6 million that these sons of bitches are just stealing. Now, it's nowhere near. I shouldn't even be talking about this. Because Bush steals, what, $200-300 million a day. With the price of oil, he's probably up to $400-500 million a day. $500 million a day. They're just stealing the money. At least that money they're stealing from Iraq, not out of my pocket. Crooked sons of bitches. That's what our Congress is all about. Let's get elected. We'll get up there. We'll write funny laws and we'll steal money. People like you and me, we work for a living. These sons of bitches, they go to Washington and they just steal money. That's all they do. That's their job. That's their function. That's why they get up in the morning. How much can we steal today? Democrats and Republicans both. I say everybody on this list, screw them all. Everybody on this list should be fired. They should be charged with misappropriation of funds. They should be charged with fraud. They should be charged with illegal obtainment of finances. Charged with any damn thing you want. Hell, if the Republicans, go ahead and charge them with child molestation, because you know they are. Sons of bitches. Letter to the editor, demand definitive answer on torture. The American people demand and deserve to have their top cop know the difference between right and wrong. Judge Michael Mulcahy's adamant refusal to say that waterboarding is torture speaks volumes about his position on executive criminal behavior. There is absolutely no doubt that waterboarding is torture and is illegal under U.S. and international law and violates treaties that the U.S. is obliged to uphold. It is obvious that Mulcahy is trying to avoid having to comment on whether President Bush could legally authorize the use of torture under any circumstance. Americans demand and deserve to know precisely how Mulcahy will apply the law against them and others. This was by Michael Marr something something in Bel Air, M.D. Well, Michael, you're shit out of luck because the Democrats have decided they want to be a pro-torture party too. That idiot Schumer and that idiot Feinstein decided that torture is okay. And they also decided that it's okay if Bush doesn't obey the law. They ought to call it the Schumer-Feinstein Amendment that declares that the president is above the law. Randy Rhodes got a little clip of Nixon saying, well, if the president doesn't, it's not illegal. That's what we got now from Schumer and Feinstein. Why don't we just drum them out of the party? Why doesn't the, you know, if the Democrats had any fucking brains or any fucking balls, is there any reason to try to finish this sentence? But they should have somebody in charge, somebody that would go to those two and say, look, you go through with this and you're out of here. The Democratic Party is going to put all their money behind whoever challenges you in the primary next year. Schumer, Feinstein, you are gone. You are the torture candidates. Christ, how could anybody lose an election to either one of them? My opponent is pro-torture. My opponent thinks that George Bush should be allowed to go around the world kidnapping, torturing, and murdering whoever he doesn't like. That's the Schumer position. That's the Feinstein position. And I disagree with Schumer, Feinstein, and Bush on this subject. Now, who can't win with a campaign like that? But no, we're just going to sit there and take it. Well, we lost a battle. Well, we'll keep our powder dry for the next battle. Well, how many years have we been saying that? Screw a bunch of battles next year. Oh, speaking of the battles, even now, I don't have any idea what happened earlier in the week with Conyers and Kucinich on this whole impeachment deal. You know, I wonder if it's a coincidence that Kucinich has been called mentally unbalanced either hundreds or thousands of times in the last 10 days. Then he brings up the impeached Cheney bill. Well, great. So the mentally insane want to impeach Cheney. Way to go, Democrats. Way to handle it just exactly like you always do, totally fucking backwards. What is wrong with you? Like I say, I couldn't dig up anything on it. I saw a headline, so I put it on the page, something about Kucinich plans to do X and Y, and I'm thinking, fuck a bunch of planning, do it. Don't tell someone you're going to do it. It's like a lawsuit. You don't tell someone, I'm going to sue you. No, you go file the papers and you have that cop hand him a summons. That's when you get action. The threat to sue works on a whole lot of people. Wouldn't fucking work on me. I've been to court 300-400 times. You threaten to sue me, I might unzip something and give you an invitation. Anyway, back to this Kucinich bullshit. And so the story comes up, and then I saw a headline on Brad blog saying, oh, big Kucinich move. So I go there and had like a paragraph. And it's like, well, where's the news? You'd think that when the House of Representatives is voting on impeaching the vice president, that would have made the nightly news. Didn't make ABC, didn't make NBC, didn't make CBS, didn't make Fox Horror News, didn't make CNN Horror News. Why? Well, A, they have an interest in protecting Bush at all costs, and B, why bother if a mentally insane guy introduces a mentally insane bill to impeach godly Bush and godly Cheney? God, how could they fuck this up any worse? It's like Democrats are walking down the dark alley in the middle of the night, counting their money, and then, whoa, some fellas step out of the shadows with knives and guns and take their money and kick their ass. Well, who knew it could be dangerous to walk down a dark alley at night waving all your money around? Who knew? The Democrats fall into trap after trap after trap after trap. I'm running out of breath, but that trap after trap goes for about 30 minutes. The dumb sons of bitches, why weren't they? They're never ready for anything, ever. The limited understanding I have of what happened is Kucinich introduced this bill to impeach Cheney. And they said, well, you know, it can either go to the floor, we can vote on it, or we can go, you know, put it in a committee, or we can send it back to here. You know, this, I don't understand the parliamentarian bullshit. But somehow they decided, well, let's vote this down. And halfway through the vote, the Republicans see now evil equals smart a lot of times. I mean, remember I had this rule forever, for decades. You could either be nice or smart. The Democrats are nice. The Republicans are smart. Halfway through the vote, one of the Republicans got an idea. Hey, let's screw the Democrats. They passed the word. Everybody vote yes on the impeached Cheney bill. And say, what? What are you talking about? They said, no, trust us. Vote yes on the impeached Cheney bill. So they all started voting yes, meaning, yeah, let's bring it to the floor. Let's bring it to a vote. Everybody wants to impeach the president. Stand up. Raise your hand. Scream aye. And all of a sudden, Democrats go, oh, no, you weren't supposed to do that. Oh, no, what are we going to do? Panic, panic. Oh, I wet myself again. So here we are, the Democrats, the idiot Democrats, wetting themselves in another panic. What's wrong with Kucinich? He introduces this bill. He has no idea what that means. He has no idea what the other guy can do, how they might try to stop it, or God forbid they step aside and let him go. Then they had to slam the brakes on their own initiative. All of a sudden, now the Democrats are protecting Cheney from the Republicans. Son of a bitch, how did I get in this party? What is wrong with the Democrats? They are just, I'm sorry about the language, but they're so fucking stupid. How can they be so goddamn stupid to get caught 100 times out of 100 times? Jesus, if they learn to play a little poker, there's a bluff and there's a drop and there's a raise. There's a lot of things you can do in poker, but all the Democrats know how to do is fold because they're stupid. Another thing, because Kucinich is running, and why is he running? You know, on his best day, he hits 1%, maybe, if he's in the liberal part of the liberal state. And now he's trying to impeach Cheney. So everybody's saying, well, he's running for president. It's a political deal. He's trying to get publicity. If you're serious about impeaching the vice president, don't run. The smart move, oh, damn, here I am giving advice to the idiots that can't think again. But the smart move would be for Kucinich to say, impeaching this vice president, putting the brakes on this runaway thug administration is so important. I'm going to step out of the race. I'm going to withdraw my name from the nomination process because this is too important, because I don't want to be accused of grandstanding. I don't want to be distracted by a bunch of campaign this and that. So I'm going to drop out of the race. We're going to impeach these sons of bitches for the good of the country because I love my country and something must be done to stop these thugs. But no, he can't do that because he can't think. And if you're a Kucinich fan, don't get mad at me because your hero is an idiot. Write to me and explain to me how he's not. Why don't you try that? Write to me and tell me how smart Kucinich is, how he set this up, how he thought about it, how he worked out all the angles, how he used his head and came up with a foolproof trap. God damn, since I've been 10 years old, I can create traps, and I trap the shit out of the other guy, and he's hopeless. A well-constructed trap, you just can't get out of. You know, mostly it's because you're guilty. If you're doing the right thing, it's nearly impossible to get put into a trap, but somehow the Democrats live in the traps, and the Republicans just sit there and laugh at them. It's like the Republicans are a bunch of wrestlers on steroids, and the Democrats are a bunch of code pink 98-pound women standing there saying, oh, please don't hurt me. We go through this again and again and again. The Republicans, they must just sit there and laugh at us. Oh, here come the Democrats. They mean it this time. Ha, ha, ha.
Stand by for a party.
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 Party music sweep.
See another headline here. Despite recent strides, 2007 deadliest for U.S. and Iraq war. Perfect. They keep screaming about how Al-Qaeda's on the run and the big success. The U.S. military announced six deaths Tuesday, making 2000 the bloodiest year for American troops in Iraq, despite a recent decline in casualties. Objection. In a sharp drop in roadside bombings that Washington officials linked to Iran. Well, sure they do. They want to invade Iran because they have oil. With nearly 2 months left in the year, the annual toll is now 853, surpassing the previous peak in 2004. The grim milestone comes as the Pentagon points towards such encouraging signs as growing security in Baghdad and other former militant strongholds. Objection to the bullshit. It's a lie. And we got proof coming up. Rear Admiral Gregory Smith, spokesman for the Multinational Force Iraq. Oh, please, are you still pretending there's some multinational task force over there? No, it's America. That's all they've got. Someone said some tiny, Iceland, somebody like that, had four people over there. And so Bush is counting them as part of the giant coalition. Admiral Smith said a major cache of Iranian-made weapons and bombs displayed for reporters Tuesday appeared to have been shipped to the Iraq before Tehran vowed to stop the flow of arms. Well, you know, I got an idea. When you invade a country, why don't you secure the borders? Bush hasn't done any better job securing the borders in Iraq than he has in America. And it's all a bunch of crap. When you invade a country, you secure the borders. Remember, haven't you ever heard there's an old saying, no land wars in Asia? You know, we learned that the hard way in Vietnam. Because if you're in a land war in Asia, Asia's got, I don't know, 3 billion people, half the people on the planet are in Asia. So if you're going to fight them, you got to be prepared to fight 3 billion people, because they, if it's on land, they don't need ships or planes or anything to bring their people to the war. They just walk there. And this is the same thing here. If we don't secure the borders to Iraq, then people come in to fight us from Syria, from Iran, from Turkey, from Saudi Arabia, you know, from anywhere. You can be in hand job Pakistan. You can be in blow me Indonesia and get on a plane and go to Syria. And from there, you take a Humvee or something across the desert and you go to Baghdad and they start blowing shit up. Oh, and since you got a Humvee or an SUV or a station wagon or something, you load it up with a couple of tons of C4 and you drive it into Baghdad and you blow Americans up. They didn't secure the borders. What's wrong with them? And this kind of gets back to the deal with, you know, they keep bragging we haven't had a successful attack in 6 years. Well, it's because they've chosen not to attack us. Someone said 1,000 people a day come across the border. How do we know that's not 990 Mexicans and 10 handjob Iranians or Pakistan or whoever, you know, Al-Qaeda people? We don't know that. If they wanted to hit us, they could. They've chosen not to hit us for the last 6 years. But if you don't secure the borders, you got nothing. And this whole deal about, how good things are going in Iraq, it reminds me. Like Jesus, I'd like to tell you a parable. Let's say you have a school where, just to keep the math round so everybody can follow, got a school with 100 kids in it. Okay, so the armed bastards get in there, and they say, we've taken over the school, and they kill 20 of the kids, so there's 80 kids left. The next day, they say, we're going to kill 20 more kids, so they kill 20 more kids. Now there's 60 kids left. But the third day, they only kill 10. So Bush calls a press conference, and all the media whores show up, and Bush says, killings are down 50%. We're winning. We got the school hostage takers on the run. Everybody goes, yay, we're winning, yay. But we ain't winning shit. Over there in Iraq, they keep talking about how there's fewer murders. Well, yeah, the people left, you know, the people that are being thrown out. I saw a deal, it's probably in the stack. You're sitting there, you got a house in Baghdad, or apartment, whatever. You wake up the next morning, there's a note taped to your front door. It says, be gone in 48 hours or we kill you and your family. And they're not kidding. They're not bluffing over there when they say, we're going to come back tomorrow and kill you. You have to assume that they're telling the truth. So you leave. Now, who are they targeting to leave? Just like the Nazis, just like the BFEE, they're targeting the liberals, the educated, they want the doctors and lawyers and the writers, they want the people with brains, they want them to leave. The people who just sit around and stare at the wall and smoke that jihad, whatever that is, they can stay. But all the people who might put together a insurrection or something to fight the bastards, they all have to leave. So of course, murders are down. The people are leaving. They said recently, it might be this year, 2 million people have left Iraq. Well, yeah, there's going to be murders, just like in the school analogy. There's going to be fewer murders as you run out of people. At some point, if you wait long enough, they'll murder every kid in the school, and then Bush can stand up and say, success, there's been no murders lately. Well, yeah, big success. You got 100 dead kids. That's how Bush and the whore media measure success. Sons of bitches. The number two commander of the multinational force, Lieutenant General Ray Odierno, said last week there had been a sharp decline in the amount of EFPs. Okay, I forget what those are. Explosively formed projectiles. Yeah, I remember talking about that. These things, they go through our armored tanks. Perfect. Perfect. We're fighting a bunch of hand jobs to figure out how to blow into our armored tanks, our armored personnel carriers. They just go right through that now. Perfect. And we're fighting land war over there where these guys can replenish until the end of time. So why are we staying? Are we going to try to convince the two or three religiously insane hand jobs to lay down their arms and all join together and live in peace? No, that's not going to happen. It hadn't happened for 4,000 years. Why would they do it for the invaders? The invaders would like us to stop fighting amongst ourselves. Oh, okay, let's do that. Let's please the invaders, whatever they want. The people that invaded and murdered Saddam and his kids and stole our oil, let's do whatever they like. That's a great idea. Jesus, and it never ends. How many years we've been doing the show? How long has this war been going on? It's going to continue until someone else gets in office, and I wish her the best of luck.
If you had your way, what would this country look like?
New York City during the Republican National Convention. In fact, that's what I think heaven's going to look like.
And what did that look like?
And people were happy, they're Christians.
So it would be better if we were all Christian?
Yes.
We should just throw Judaism away and we should all be Christians then.
Right? Yeah, we just want Jews to be perfected.
When I was growing up, I was very insecure. Didn't know where I fit into this world. As I grew older, I found my place. And finally my nose grew into my face. Then I saw Ann Coulter on the TV screen. She said, if you want to be perfect, you should be just like me. Mom said she's a whore. Dad said she stole for attention. She's got the hottest Adam's apple at the Republican convention.
We just want Jews to be perfected.
Perfect me. Make me petty. I want to be hateful like Ann Coulter. Convert me to Christianity. I want to be perfected.
We could take care of Iran so that they couldn't build a transistor radio.
Just like Ann Coulter.
I was going to have a few comments on the other Democratic presidential candidate, John Edwards, but it turns out that you have to go into rehab if you use the word faggot.
I know I'm just a Jew, but we could be best friends forever. Wanna come over later and watch Seinfeld together? You could teach me to hate liberals, the New York Times and what they say. We could prank call John Edwards and tell him he's gay.
Faggot.
I would do anything to be just like you. FedEx me to heaven like a perfected Jew. Oh, and it's not my fault, I just have to obey. I feel I'm getting so close, oh won't you show me the way. Perfect me, make me petty. I want to be hateful like Ann Coulter. Help me ignore civilian casualties.
Anyone named B. Hussein Obama should avoid using hijack and religion in the same sentence.
Just like Ann
Coulter. So you have no problem referring to Arabs as camel jockeys?
We have sure moved away from the day when we called them krauts and nips.
Oh, you're so beautiful, Ann. Just like Ann Coulter. I like it when you touch your hair in interviews.
So now we're going to invoke the fact that our husbands died and you can't criticize us. These women got paid. They ought to take their money and shut up about it.
Just like Ann Coulter.
Well, here's something I like to see. Louisiana couple wins Katrina case. A jury in New Orleans on Wednesday sided with a Port Sulphur couple in the first federal trial in Louisiana against State Farm insurance bastards over Hurricane Katrina damage. The lawyer for Michael and Judy Codron said a State Farm spokesman estimated the award would be about $350,000. Really? For a house in Louisiana? Judge Carl Barbier said he'd have to calculate the amount. State Farm spokesman Phil Supple said the company was considering an appeal. Hey, blow me on the appeal. Pay up. Write a check. The Codron said winds destroyed their home hours before water toppled. Before water topped a nearby river levee and flooded their, Plecky Mines Parish neighborhood in August 2005. State Farm, bastards, which says its homeowner policies cover damage from wind but not rising water, denied the couple's claim, blaming the storm surge. You liars. The sons of bitches, why not insure the house? The idea that you're insured for this and that and this and that, but not this and that and this and that, blow me. Insure my house. Give me a price. They do that just so the whole point of American business is to screw the consumer. You know, I'm all for market forces and making profits and all this, but the goal is just to screw the guy. You know, when these people, they go to claim school, these adjusters, and they send them to these schools and they explain to them, okay, now if it's this kind of damage, you do this. If it's that kind of damage, you do that. And they put them with all this. They explain everything to them. They put them in a position where they can make intelligent decisions. But then when they go out on the job, their boss says, hey, all that shit you learned in school, forget it. When you go out and you look at a job, you say, sorry, not covered. And about half the people in America, being sheep, are going to say, oh, darn, and, you know, just walk away with their tail between their legs. The other half will say, hey, suck me. You're writing me a check right now. I'm going to go find me the most expensive son of a bitch, mean bastard, pit bull lawyer I can find and sue your ass. And that's what these people did. State Farm told them to go screw themselves, so they went and got them a lawyer, and the lawyer's going to make State Farm write them a check for $350,000. Right on. The sons of bitches. Another thing, when these bastard Republicans start talking about tort reform and all that, what they mean is you don't need to sue. You don't get to sue. If a huge multi-billion-dollar conglomerate like State Farm says go to hell, then you need to go to hell. You don't get any redress. You don't get to come back. You don't need to a jury and a judge to hear your case because you don't matter. That's what the Republicans are trying to do. They're trying to take away your right to break even on the damn deal. You pay insurance company all those decades, and when your house blows up, they say, screw yourself, we're not paying. And if you walk off, then they just gain. And if you fight back, sometimes you get lucky. But the Republicans, they want to screw every person in America out of every nickel they can. Those bastards. The insurance companies make too much money. They're not in the risk business. They're in the theft business. That's all they do. They collect your money, and then when you try to get a claim, they explain the reason to you why you're not covered this time. Oh, if it had been a Thursday after 4 o'clock and you'd have been in the other guy's car, and you know, yeah, sure, that's how we play the game. They just screw people. And when you got a crooked president who lets this happen, a pro-business, crooked bastard president, he's just going to let this happen until somehow you get in front of a judge and a jury, and then they're going to give you what you deserve if you got good luck. Right next to that, we got a story. DEA, cocaine and meth prices rise. Prices for cocaine and methamphetamine have risen for the fourth quarter in a row. The Drug Enforcement reported is a trend law enforcement officials say indicates supply has dropped. I don't think anyone is prepared to declare victory, but this is certainly encouraging news, said Scott Burns of the Office of National Drug Control Policy, parentheses, religiously insane. Hello. A gram of pure cocaine cost about $137 in September, up from $93 a year ago, according to the DEA liars. A gram of pure meth cost $245 in September, up from $133 in October last year. So, what you're saying in reality is the dealers are making twice the money. Guy who used to make $2,000 off an ounce is now making $4,000 off an ounce, and the DEA is wanting to celebrate. Well, yeah, the DEA and the dealer have that in common. That's great news. Might have told you this story before, but when I was a young pup, pot cost $10 an ounce. These days, gee, it's hard to say since I can't find any worth buying, but I imagine it costs like $2.50, $3.50 somewhere an ounce. So in the old days, let's say one did a little dealing in their college years, you could buy a pound for, say, $100. You sell 10 ounces, get your money back, and you make $60 profit. Now, you buy a pound for whatever, I don't know what a pound goes for, say $2,000, no, say $3,000, and you sell 10 ounces and get your money back. Now you got the same 6 ounces left that you had like when you were back in college, but now if an ounce costs $3.50 and you got six of them, that's $2,000. You used to have 60, now you got 2,000, and the DEA wants to throw a party. Well, yeah, if I was a drug dealer, me too. I want to throw a party too, because instead of making $60, I made 2,000. Sometimes they just don't understand. Sometimes if they would go the other way, if there was cocaine on every corner, if there was methamphetamine and marijuana and cocaine on every corner, it would be useless. There would be no money in getting in the drug business, and drug dealers would, hell, they'd go mow lawns. They'd do something to earn money. If you can't make any money selling cocaine, you got to make some money somehow. But they just don't understand. The crazy bastards didn't learn anything from Prohibition. When they outlawed whiskey, then the mob got into it. That's where the Teamsters came from. The Teamsters were running whiskey down from Canada, and they needed a fleet of trucks to do that. And they also needed political protection. So because whiskey was illegal, the mob got into the public official corruption business and the transportation by truck business. And then when they made whiskey legal again, here the mob had all these trucks sitting around, and they had all these officials on the payroll. So, hey, let's get into some different crimes. They took away our whiskey crimes, so now we need to get into prostitution and racketeering and whatever those other crimes are. They just don't get it. They don't want to solve the problem. They want to please the invisible cloud being. God doesn't like marijuana. God didn't like whiskey from, what, 31 to 34, somewhere in there? But then God got over it, I guess. Now we've got a, I'm not saying cocaine and methamphetamine should be legal, but if it was, if cocaine was legal and every dork on the corner was trying to sell you some, it'd be $10 a gram because it was so plentiful that you can't give it away. And so there'd be no dealers. Problem solved, but no, they don't want to solve the problem. They want to please the invisible cloud being and run up some court costs. The sons of bitches.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at
10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. On Air America Radio.
I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Here's one that's come up before, and I just hate when they do this, and they keep doing it, so I have to keep commenting on it. Headline, Iraq War Not Covered in $460 Billion Bill. House and Senate negotiators agreed Tuesday on a $460 billion Pentagon bill that covers weapon systems and bomb-resistant vehicles, but not overall combat operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. They're just putting that on the bill for your grandchildren to pay. How dare they? Republicans such as Ted Stevens of Alaska, no! Said the omission would impose a strain on troops. What? If we had to pay as we go for this war, it would put a strain on the troops? How? You know, we can always have a big party on my Visa card, but then the bill comes in 30 days later. That's when the problem hits. Democrats know that the bill has to be paid. Republicans say, screw it. Let your grandkids pay for it. Democrats said the bill wouldn't leave the military in the lurch. We'll take it step by step, said John Murtha, chairman of the Appropriations Committee. The public wants this war over. But that kills me, though. Bush is up there yapping on and on about he's got a balanced budget, or they're spending less than they thought, but they're not counting the damn war. So that doesn't mean anything. You know, it's like saying, if you don't count my gambling debts and my massive drug problem and the new car I bought and the new boat I bought, if you don't count those things, our household budget is in great shape. Well, no, you do count those things. So the household budget is crap. Oh, by the way, I don't have a drug problem or a boat or a new car. It reminds me, I heard someone say the other day about, you know, the economy. Oh, no, I heard, oh, God damn, that made me mad. It's one of those whores on CNN talking about gasoline's at a record high, but when you account for, if you look at it according to inflation and the percent of the GDP and blah, 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 and I'm thinking, well, yo, it doesn't work that way. I flew to St. Louis a while back, and, you know, as you fly into St. Louis, I don't know if they come a certain way, depending on the wind, whatever, you fly over the arch. And from the airplane, the arch doesn't look very tall. Now, see, there's kind of a connection there. It, you know, if you look at it this way, well, So they're saying the arch in St. Louis isn't tall at all. Matter of fact, sometimes you can miss it. It's so tiny down there mixed all the buildings. It's hard to see. It's so tiny. Well, no, when you're standing next to the arch, it's 630 feet tall. It's a big-ass arch. But to see it from a plane, yeah, it looks different. So that's why you don't measure from the plane. It's like laying down on the floor and you look up at Jon Stewart. Well, he looks 15 feet tall when you're laying on the floor. Well, sure. But when you stand up and look him right in the eye, he's 5'2 or something. That's why you don't measure from the floor or from the airplane. That's why you shouldn't be measuring the budget, not counting the war. It's why you shouldn't measure the arch flying over it. That's why you shouldn't measure Bush's budget problems by not counting the war. You have to count shit that counts. You don't just get to say, if you don't count the bullets in my back and the stab wound in my neck, I'm in good health. It doesn't work that way. But they keep doing it again and again, trying to cover for the monkey. When you go to fill up your car, $60 for a fill-up now instead of $50 like it was 6 months ago, you just need to remember that compared to Starbucks, it's cheaper. Ha-ha, that's one of Leno's favorites. Oh, people whine about gasoline and then they go buy a cup of coffee. Well, hey, they want a cup of coffee. That doesn't give the oil companies the right to rape every family in America. Sons of bitches, a fill-up used to cost $20. But now every time you fill up your car, you got to give the Bush crime family $40. That's just blackmail is all it is. It's like the mob moving in, saying every time you sell something, I want half your profit. And we say, oh, okay, there's nothing we can do about it because Bush has a bunch of goons behind him. But somebody needs to call the bastards on the lies they tell, and we need to stop looking at things through certain colored glasses. If you get some distorted view, you know, it's like saying the room has a view of the bay. Well, yeah, if you stand on top of a milk carton and lean over this real far and, you know, balance yourself on the lamp, you might be able to see one of the little things. No, that's not what you call a view of the bridge. It doesn't work that way. But, of course, Bush's whore media always covered up for him, and the Democrats always willing to cave in. Whatever you need, Mr. Bush, just give me a call. Oh, and if you need to legalize torture, just call Schumer and Feinstein. They'll be right over with a rubber stamp. How nice of them.
Good morning. It's a wonderful brand new day. Good morning.
New rule, if America's richest 1% are now so rich that even a 5-star hotel isn't good enough, it's time to bring back the guillotine. Yes, what's being dubbed America's first 6-star hotel has just opened in Miami Beach. How ritzy is it? Well, let's put it this way. J-Lo can afford to stay here, but her husband can't. At this hotel, when they ask if you'd like help with your bag, they're talking about your scrotum. But this is America, and we can afford it, along with $2 trillion wars and tax cuts. But there's one thing we can't afford, and that's health care for sick kids. Awesome.
Well, there you had it. Show number 129 is in the can. I hope you liked it. I hope you liked parts of it. I'm going to get to work on show number 130 now, and I want you to trust me on this difference between trying to use the clips and using the newspaper. I think I learned a valuable lesson this time because, you know, I can read at 100 miles an hour, but I can only listen in real time. So hopefully I've discovered the source of my impediment, but the proof will be in how quick I can get out the next radio show, so wish me luck. Oh, and on the money front, I was kind of surprised how quickly we got to 4,000, But after 4,000, things slowed quite a bit. Hopefully we can still get to 6,000 by the end of the year. Remember, I'm not asking you to send in your hard-earned money. I'm asking you to throw in your hooker money, your cocaine money. You know, see, this will save your marriage. If you go to that hooker one more time, give her that $200, you're going to come up with some disease. Your wife's going to catch it. She's going to give it to her boyfriend. There's going to be a whole lot of trouble. So you want to avoid that. Instead of going to the hooker, instead of buying that cocaine, send that money to oldbarkup.com. We'll take our nation back. And we'll send them fascist bastards back to Crawford, Texas. I'd like to thank Chicago Jim for all the great music he sends in. Remember, if you've heard the song, it's probably mine. If you've never heard the song, it's probably his. Good way to straighten that out. I'd like to thank you as a listener, you the subscriber, and if you're listening without subscribing, shame, shame, shame. This is Barton K-Drag. I'm out of here. See you next show.
Who are you trying to get crazy with, S.A.? Don't you know I'm loco?
To the one on the flamboyant tip, I'll just toss that ham in the frying pan like spam. Get done when I come and slam. Damn, I feel like the son of Sam. Don't make me wreck shit. Hectic, next get the chair. Got me going like General Electric. And the lights are blinking. I'm thinking it's all over when I go out drinking. Oh, making my mind slow. That's why I don't fuck with a big 4-0. Bro, I got to maintain. Cause a nigga like me is gonna take. Insane in the membrane.
Insane in the brain.
Insane in the membrane.
Insane in the brain.
Insane in the membrane.
Crazy insane, got no brain.
Insane in the membrane. Insane in the brain. Shit undercover. Now it's time for the blubber. Blabber, watch that belly get fatter. Fat boy on a diet, don't try it. I'll jack your ass like a looter in a riot. My shit's fat like a sumo slamming that ass, leaving your face in the grass. Cause you know I don't take Duro lightly. Punk's just jealous cause they can't outride me. Or kick that style wicked wild. Happy face nigga never seen me smile. Rip that mainframe, I'll explain. A nigga like me is going insane. Insane in the brain. Insane in the membrane. Insane. Insane.